الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الكهف اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتل ما اوحي اليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من اغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان امره فرطا وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر انا اعتدنا للظالمين نارا احاط بهم سرادقها وان يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا ان الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات انا لا نضيع اجر من احسن عملا اولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الانهار يحلون فيها من اساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس واستبرق متكئين فيها على الارائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا صدق الله العظيم. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you must be knowing, we are presently studying the fifth part of the selected course of study. The main subject of this part is sabr, patience, perseverance, steadfastness, forbearance. As I explained in the very beginning, when we were beginning this section, that sabr means to hold oneself in conditions which are unpleasant in any respect. To stick to your position, not budge an inch. To stick to your position, to hold yourself. Now this sabr actually, it can have many forms. Sabr ala ta'ah, when there are commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in performing and acting upon those commandments, you have to undergo some hardships, some difficulties, but you bear them. So this is sabr, patience on obedience. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made 5 prayers a day imperative on us. Now suppose it's very cold weather and you have to offer Salatul Fajr. It's cold outside and you don't have water which is warm or hot. You have to make wudu. If water is available, even if it is cold, even if it is icy cold, you have to make wudu. That is the condition for Salah. So now you are bearing all those things. Why? Because you have to perform an act which has been made imperative upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is sabr ala ta'ah. You have to hold yourself and you have to bear the unpleasant conditions in executing the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it is that another form of sabr is sabr anil ma'asiyah. You hold yourself back from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, as we have seen in Surah Yusuf, what happened? A rich lady, a highly placed lady, invited Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for sin. Now just imagine a young man, unmarried, and on the other side a woman, highly placed, wife of a very high official of the kingdom of Egypt. And there were all the precautions were taken, the doors were closed. But he held himself back. Why? This is ma'asiyah. Ma'az Allah. Qala ma'az Allah. Innahu rabbi ahsana bi basaya. So he held himself back. Although the all temptations were there. So this is sabr anil ma'asiyah. Sabr ala ta'ah. You have to make sabr in executing the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to refrain from committing sin, you have to hold yourself back. This is again sabr. Then the third form of sabr is sabr alal ibtila or sabr alal bala. Bala yablu and ibtila yabtali have the same meaning. Testing. Some tests have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are, now you should bear those things if there are something unpleasant which has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you bear with them and you are not complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why he has done so with me? This is sabr alal bala, sabr alal ibtila. And this can take two forms. Sometimes, you know, these things, unpleasant things come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through some physical phenomena. There is an earthquake. Nobody has caused it. Nobody else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it has come. The damage has been done. Maybe some of your relatives have died. Maybe your house has collapsed. So this is something directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else is to blame. No human being at least. In the same way you fall, there's some disease comes to you. You fall ill. Maybe it's a very painful disease. But it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, so many diseases came to him. But he remained sabir. He was patient. And that is why you must be reading sometimes that the adjective of sabir has been added to his name. Ayyub sabir. It was his most prominent attribute. So sometimes this ibtila or bala comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On others, this ibtila, actually it is from Allah. But it is coming at the hands of the opponents of Islam, opponents of Allah, enemies of Allah. Abu Jahl, when he was beating like anything, Hazrat Sumayya, Hazrat Yasir, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and Hazrat Ammar, their son, Ammar, radiyallahu anhu. Now this testing was from Allah, but it was coming at the hands of Abu Jahl. Here also, because he was beating all these members of that family, house of Yasir, why? Because they believed in one Allah, they believed in Tawheed. So to bear all these things, to show perseverance, to stick to your position, not budge an inch behind, you know, no step back, this is sabr. So actually in this section, we are discussing only the sabr of this last category. Because when we have found that it is the fundamental duty of Muslims to make the deen of Allah supreme. Why? Because their Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent for this purpose. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. That was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I told you yesterday, it has come in Quran these words thrice without any difference of any dot or jot. Thrice. For Muhammad, thrice sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for none from among the other prophets or messengers of Allah, these words have not appeared. So this is something exclusive to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the same way, as logic would have it, this is the exclusive duty of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make the deen of Allah supreme. And for that, you will have to pass all the hardships. You will have to face all the opposition. Obstacles will come into your way. There will be opposition to this. People will challenge you. Maybe they put you in jails. Maybe they kill you. They may do anything to you. Because, you know, if you want to make the deen of Allah supreme, what does it mean? The existing system is to be changed. And with every existing politico-socio-economic system, there is definitely some vested interest. If it is the capitalistic society, the capitalists, you know, they have the vested interest in the society. And their interests, they are threatened if you want to change the system. If it is a feudal society, the feudal lords, the landed aristocracy, they have the vested interest. If you want to change the system, their interests are challenged. They are bound to oppose it, tooth and nail, because they have to protect their interests. If it is a monarchy, just as we have in Saudi Arabia, or the like, if you want to change the system, what does it mean? They lose that position. Monarchy goes. So will they allow you? They will never. They will try their best to obstruct your struggle. So this is actually, without struggle, hardship, bearing hardship, without being ready to sacrifice everything, and without perseverance and steadfastness, this is impossible. So that is why, you know, after in the fourth part of this selected course of study, we have studied Surah Al-Saff, we have studied Surah Al-Jumu'ah. So in the fifth, you know, we are studying those passages of the Qur'an which are discussing this special type of sabr. Sabr alal ibtila. And that ibtila, that testing is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When some groups wants and strives to establish the deen of Allah, to make it supreme, to establish it as a total politico-socio-economic system, then there is opposition, there is persecution, there are all types of hardships, and if they stand, you know, with courage and face all these things, and they are ready to sacrifice, then they are successful in the eyes of Allah. That is why the first lesson, as you may recall, was the early ayat of the 19th section of Surah Al-Baqarah. The first ayah is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Now here, first word used is sabr. Oh, you who believe, take help from two things, sabr and salah. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. Verily Allah is with those who show perseverance in patience. Allah is with those. What does it mean? Allah's help and nusra, that is with them. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Be ready to be killed in the way of Allah. And don't think that those who are killed, who are slain in the way of Allah, they are dead. بَلَحْيَاوْا وَلَا كِلَّا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are alive. But you can't have the perception. How alive they are and where they are, you can't have the perception. That is the unseen world. That is the rab. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. This is the sabr. That type of sabr which is, you know, we are discussing here. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. O Muhammad, give glad tidings to those who show patience and perseverance and steadfastness and forbearance. So this is actually, this was the opening lesson of this fifth section, fifth part of our Muntakhab Nisab, selected course of study. Then the second was the first section of Surah Al-Ankabut. Surah Al-Baqarah is Badani Surah. But because in these ayat, which I have just, you know, I have gave the reference, this word sabr appears very prominently. So we have put that lesson as number one. Number two is Surah Al-Ankabut. But this Surah Al-Ankabut, it is Makki. And it was revealed most probably in the fifth year after the beginning of Wahi. What does it mean? At least 7 years before Hijrah. That was the middle of the period of the, which we call the Makki period. After the beginning of Wahi till Hijrah, this is the Makki period. And from the Hijrah and, you know, till the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the Madani period of his life. Now in the middle of that Makki period, this surah was revealed. And the 13 ayat of the first section are the most profound. Because there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in very unequivocal terms that it has been our law, which cannot be changed with anybody, that we always test those who claim to be mu'min. Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Did those people, they thought that they will get salvation only on saying that we have faith, we believe, saying أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and they will not be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. But we have been testing everybody before them, whosoever before them. O Muhammad, you are not the new Nabi. You are not the only Nabi which we have sent. مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعَمْ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. There is an ayah in the Quran. I am not the only Nabi that has been sent from Allah. Allah sent so many Anbiya, so many prophets, so many messengers. وَمَا مُحَمَّدُ لِلَّهِ رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَقْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. So many messengers
came before him. So with, you know, with none we were, you know, had done anything exceptionally. All were being tested. All were put to test. So that will be the case with you. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We must make it manifest. Who is a true Muslim? Who is truthful in proclaiming himself a Muslim and Mu'min? And who is telling a lie? Who is a liar? And then, you know, this section goes on. I can't go into detail, you know. It will consume much of the time. Then, you know, in the 11th ayah, it is made clear. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And Allah will surely make it manifest, clear, who are real mu'mins and who are munafiqeen, who are the hypocrites. Now that is why our third lesson was Suratul Munafiqun. Now we must understand what was nifaq, what is the basis of nifaq, what is the etiology of nifaq, what are the symptoms of nifaq, what is the prognosis of nifaq, and then what is the treatment of nifaq that we have discussed yesterday. And you know, the Surah Al-Munafiqun, I told you, it's the most comprehensive surah of the Quran on the subject of nifaq. Now we are coming again to this subject of sabr. And here we shall study, inshallah, in this last lesson, these two passages of the Quran. That is number one, which I have just recited. These are five ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, beginning from the 27th till the 31st. And actually it has a relationship with what we read in the second section of Surah Al-Munafiqun. What is the prevention of nifaq? What is the preventive treatment for nifaq? What can save you from nifaq, from this infection, from this AIDS, you may call it? And that is the zikr of Allah. Because we read the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Now actually these two passages will explain what is the zikr of Allah. How you can save yourself from the infection of nifaq. Now, وَطْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go on reciting. And it may also mean, go on reading out to the people. Tilawah means both. Reading yourself, reciting yourself. And reciting unto other people. Both meanings can be held here. وَطْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Go on reciting what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, why this min kitab rabbik? There can be two explanations. Because the whole of the book had not been revealed till that time. When Surah Kahf was revealed, maybe that half of Quran had been revealed, and half of it had to be revealed in the future. So, min kitab rabbik, whatsoever has been revealed up till date, you go on reciting it, read it, repeat it. Just as we find in Surah Al-Muzammil, رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And you know, till that time when Surah Al-Muzammil was revealed, a very small portion of the Qur'an had been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Surah Al-Muzammil is one of the very early surahs of the Qur'an. But it was, the commandment was, you keep standing half of the night, or slightly more than half, that is two-thirds, or at least slightly less, that is one-third of night, keep standing. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلُ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And what to do? You go on reciting the Quran. So the amount of Quran available was very small. And the commandment is that you have to recite it for at least one third of the night. And better, half of the night. Still better, two third of the night. What it means? Repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. By repetition, you are actually hammering Quran in your heart and in your mind. And this is actually the process of strengthening of Iman. There is no other way of strengthening the Iman. Iman can only be strengthened through this Quran, reciting it repeatedly, hammering it
I am using this word consciously, hammering it into your soul, both heart and head, both, you know, they go to make the soul. So that is the thing that we find in Surah Al-Muzammil. Ya ayyuha al-muzammil qum la ilaha illa qalila nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-qur'ana tartila inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We are going to lay on you a very heavy burden, because the mission was not an easy mission that was going to be given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That mission is mentioned in the very next surah. Ya ayyuha al-muddassir qum fa'anzir wa rabbaka fakabbir. Oh, you who are lying wrapped in a blanket, stand up and warn the people. Start your mission. Your mission will start with warning, and it will end up with takbir, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really becomes akbar. He really becomes greatest, and his word becomes supreme. For that, you know, the beginning of the mission is da'wah and inzar. And the goal before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was to make the deen of Allah supreme, the word of Allah supreme. So the same commandment is being repeated here. وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Go on repeating and reciting what had been revealed to you up till now from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. There is none who can change its words. This Quran is unchangeable. You know, it's a very big challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to whole of the humanity, that you cannot change any single word of this Quran. And this has been proved true up till date. 1400 years have passed. But the Quran is the same. And everybody accepts it. That the text of the Quran is intact, pure. There has been no alteration. We are absolutely sure, 100%. We have with us the same Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to his Sahaba. Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. This is something which can be verified historically. Although this next step, that depends on Iman, that this is the same thing that Allah gave to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This belongs to the invisible. This is belongs to the ghaib. Jibreel came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this Quran. But we are sure that this Quran is the same which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to his ummah 1400 years before. There can be no doubt. For Quran says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." We have sent down this remembrance. And this is the zikr actually. Ad-zikr, the zikr. What's the difference between a book and the book? Everybody can understand. A book and the book. This is not a zikr, but the zikr. This is the remembrance. Quran is totally remembrance. This is total zikr. This is zikr throughout. So وَطْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Very important. And you will not find any refuge except with Allah or except with Quran. دُونِهِ. This, you know, pronoun that can go to Allah also and to Quran also. This is the place of refuge. This Quran will give you refuge. Nobody else can give you any refuge. The refuge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find the wordings in one of the prayers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا مَا مَلْجَى مِنْكَ وَلَا مَا وَا إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, I can find no place to hide myself or to get refuge anybody against you except with you. لَا مَلْجَى مِنْكَ وَلَا مَا وَا. If you want to go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to run away from him, where to go? I have nothing, nowhere to go except to go to you. La malja minka wala mawa illa ilayk. So you can't find any refuge. So if there are difficulties, well, who will give you any refuge? The only refuge is with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this Quran. So this is the shield. This will protect you. To batlu ma wahiya ilayka min kitab rabbik la mubaddila li kalimatihi. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُولَهِ مُلْتَحَدَى وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. And hold yourself contended with those who keep on calling and praying their Lord mornings and evenings. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. They intend only his face. What does it mean? His prayer.
When somebody is pleased with you, he turns his face towards you. When he is angry, he doesn't want to see eye to eye with you, and he will just turn his face away from you. So this face means pleasure. Yuriduna vachahu. They want nothing. They want neither any goods of this world, nor, let me say, any good of the hereafter, except the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the highest point, highest level, spiritual level. Let me quote here, you know, an incident. Maybe it is a story only, but it will clarify the point. You might have heard the name of Hazrat Rabi'a Basriya. She was a big saint from among the women. Once she came out of her house. In one hand, he had a jug with water. In the other, he had a wood on the one side of which there was fire, you know. Mishal. She was going somewhere. People asked, where are you going, O Rabia? What was the reply? I want to burn paradise with this fire. And I want to cool down the hell with this water. So that people should worship Allah only for His sake. Neither for getting paradise, nor for being saved from fire. So this is the highest level. Yuriduna vajhahu. The nasbul ayn, you know, the goal, the ideal of a mu'min is only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even the establishment of the deen of Allah. Please note it. It's a duty. It's a farz. You have to exert for it. But don't think it's the nasbul ayn. Nasbul ayn. The goal is only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rizwanullah, the raza of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. Radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. Just as we say, salah is farz. It is not nasbul ayn. It's not the ideal. It's not the goal. It's the means to achieve some goal. In the same way, saum is farz. But it is not the goal. It's a means to attain and achieve some goal so that you can become muttaqi. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Now all the things will converge into one. And that is the pleasure of Allah. That is the highest, you know, wordings that are used. The highest testimonial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to human beings is رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That's all. That is the highest place. Allah was pleased with them. And they were pleased with Allah. This mutual pleasure. This raza, raza-e bahami, between the bondsman and the master. He is pleased with us, and we keep pleased with him. That is the position. That's the highest goal. So, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِي يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. And let not your eyes pass beyond them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Seeking the pomp and glitter of this life, of this world. This is very important ayah of the Quran. It's a very practical aspect. Whenever there will be any struggle to establish the deen of Allah, and for that, we know that we need a revolutionary struggle. And now people in the societies, they belong to different strata. There are poor people. They don't have any influence in the society. There are higher-ups, maybe the rich, the wealthy, the chiefs in the tribal society, the chief of the clan, the chief of the tribe. Now, obviously, if someone comes to Islam from among the common people, and if you compare it, if someone from the chiefs embraces Islam, as regards our goal, our struggle, this is very important. That is why, you know, the Prophet prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his early days, O Allah, at least one of these two you give to me, either Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala and Amr ibn Hisham is the name of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was also a big chief among the chiefs of Makkah. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was also an important person, highly placed person. Why he was praying for this? At least give me one to help me in this mission that you have given to me. The burden that you have put on my shoulders, so that he must be helpful to me. So because of this, naturally the Prophet used to be more, you know, attentive towards the chieftains. When they came, he listened to them, he wanted to talk to them. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, is inviting his attention to the fact that these three poor people that have come to you, this Bilal, or this Yasir, or this Khabbab bin al-Arab, and so on, when they will feel it, may be possible that they might feel it, that even the Prophet doesn't care for us. He cares for Abu Jahl. He cares for Abu Lahab. He cares for Walid ibn Mughira. He cares for these chiefs. They carry more weight in his eyes than us. And this is very bad. It will hurt their souls. It will hurt their hearts. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep contented with the company of these. Allah has given you these people. They are the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. So you must remain contented with their company. Wasbir nafsaka. Now hear the sabr. Although there is temptation that you should go and try more to beg from the chiefs and the rich people. But you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. It might hurt the feelings. And maybe that people think that Muhammad is also like other people. In his eyes, you know, this worldly wealth and position, that has a weight. And he also cares for them. So don't let this impression come to the minds of the people. And he was doing only for the sake of deen, not for himself. But the people could have had that impression. So to remove that possibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in somewhat, so to say, harsh words. These words are somewhat harsh. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You are looking for, you are seeking for this, the glitter and pomp of this worldly life. What Abu Jahl has, what Walid bin Mughira has, some property, some wealth, some position, all these things are for this world only. Actually, what Bilal has, and what, you know, Khabbab al-Arab has, and what these people have, they have the love of Allah in their minds and in their hearts, and they are morning and evening remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying Him. وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Don't let your eyes pass beyond them, and you seeking the pomp and glitter of this life, the life of this world. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And don't obey those people whose hearts we have deprived from our zikr. مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. We have made them to neglect our remembrance. To those people, actually, if they are neglecting you, they are neglecting and ignoring Quran. Why? Because due to their inward conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned their faces away. So actually, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Whosoever doesn't care for our zikr, so you also don't care for them. Itah in Arabic means also to obey and also to lend an ear. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't lend an ear to these people because they are chiefs of the tribes. Don't lend your ears to them. And don't think on their advices. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. They are following their lusts, their desires, their animal instincts only. They don't have any higher goals in life. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطَى. And his affair has gone beyond all limits. They know no limits, no moral limits, no spiritual limits, no limits whatsoever. They do whatsoever they like. They don't care for them. And instead, what should you do? وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say it. This is the truth from your Lord. I have presented to you the truth from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whosoever likes, he should accept it. And whosoever likes, let him reject it. I don't care. I don't care. Allah doesn't care. Actually, you should take care of yourself and your future. قُلْ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say, truth is from your Lord. And maybe the words here, you know, they are understood. قُلْ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say to them, this is the truth from your Lord that I am presenting before you. That's my duty. My duty is done. I have presented it. I have conveyed it to you. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Now it's up to you. Whosoever likes, he may accept it. He may believe in it. And whosoever chooses, let him reject it. Let him go away. إِنَّا عَتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ النَّارَ. We have prepared for these evildoers, unjust people, the fire. أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. The fire that will be like a tent, the roof and walls of which will encompass them, will engulf them. سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا. And if they seek for help, or this word is specially used to pray for rain. If they ask and pray for showers or water, because when they are surrounded by the fire, just like, you know, the walls and canopy of a tent, then they will cry for water. But when what will be given to them? You ask who be mine kal mohle yashfil wujuh. They will be given a water which will be as hot, as boiling, as the molten copper. It will roast their faces. Besa sharab. How evil is the thing to drink. Wasat murtafaqa. And how bad the place to take rest. They will have to take rest in those tents of fire. On the contrary, as I've told you, as a simultaneous contrast in the Quran, wherever this mention of Ahlul Jannah, the comparison comes of Ahlul Nar. Where there is the mention of Ahlul Nar, in contrast, what is the fate, what is going to be the lot of the mu'mineen? Inna alladheena amanu wa amilu salihati, inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. On the contrary, verily those who believed, who had real faith, and who did good deeds, we are not going to let the reward of their good deeds go in vain. We are not going to waste. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. They are those for whom there will be the residential gardens, underneath which rivers will be flowing. يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold. وَيَلْبَسُونَ خِسَيَابًا خُضْرًا مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ. And they will wear in those gardens green robes of silk and brocade. مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Reclining upon raised couches. نِعْمَ الثَّوَابُ. How good is the return. How good is the reward. وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. And how goodly is the resting place. So this passage of Suratul Kahf is very important. Sabr with the poor, the humble. Whosoever is a Muslim, a real mu'min, he must be dear to you and your heart. He must carry weight in your eyes. Not those who have the pomp and show of this world. You have to present the dawah to them also. But don't let the impression go that these people are also, they are after the rich people. They also care for the rich, not for the poor. This is very injurious to the mission and to the movement and to the dawah and to the tahriq. Now we come to Suratul Ankabut. I just reminded, I refer the first section of this Suratul Ankabut among the Makki surahs. That is the most profound place regarding this sunnah of Allah, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He definitely tests everybody who claims to be a mu'min. Now, what to do in conditions which are unfavorable, when there is persecution, when there is opposition, when you have to go under hardships, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of His deen. Now, how to strengthen your iman? How to get the perseverance? These three sections, last sections of Suratul Ankabut, are very important. But please note in the beginning that in these three sections, two subjects are intermingled or interwoven with each other. One string to the Muslims who are being oppressed, who are being persecuted, who are being beaten, who were being kept hungry, You know, one of the Sahaba, Khabbab ibn al-Arat رضي الله تعالى عنه, he was ordered to take his shirt off. And because a fire was burnt and the live and burning cinder that was spread on the ground, and he was ordered to lie down with back on the cinders. The skin of the back burnt, got burnt. Then the fat of the back, that melted. And with that the cinders became cold. Now the whole back was burnt like anything. But the order, the commandment of the Prophet ﷺ was not to retaliate. That was a period of passive resistance. But Sahaba were undergoing such hardships. And it is he, Khabbab ibn al-Arat رضي الله تعالى عنه, who has narrated that hadith. That we went to the Prophet ﷺ, we complained to him. Oh, Prophet of Allah, such hardships are coming to us. We are being persecuted in this way. When will the Nusrah and the help of Allah will come? Why don't you call for us that the help of Allah should come? And the Prophet got angry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith I have narrated when I was explaining this first section of Surah Al-Ankabut. I have narrated that hadith with the total reference. He became angry. He said, you are making haste. Before you, the mu'mins were tested and persecuted. It was a mu'min, you know, something was put on the, some saw was put on the head of a mu'min. And he was cut into two pieces. And you know, they were burnt alive. These things came to the people. But after all, Allah's help came. But why do you make haste? So in these conditions, how to strengthen one's iman and how to be able to be steadfast, how to get forbearance and to be perseverant. Now this is actually the subject. So one string goes towards the mu'mineen who are being persecuted. But they are side by side. The kuffar are also being addressed. So in some ayat, there is a reference to the Muslims. There is an address to the Muslims. Then in some ayat, there is an address to the mushrikeen of Makkah, to the idol worshippers of Makkah. Then again, in one or two or three ayat, there is again address towards the Muslims. And then again, there is the address to the idolaters or idol worshippers of Makkah. So these two things, you know, just as in a rope, two strings are interwoven or interwound with each other. These two strings are interwoven and interwound in that manner here also. Now the first ayah. اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, the same wordings. Keep on reciting what has been sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the book. وَاقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish prayer. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَلِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Verily, Salah forbids or restrains from whatever is shameful and whatever is unjust. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, and verily, surely, certainly, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ, and Allah very well knows what you are doing. As I mentioned in the beginning, in the last lesson we had this word zikr. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And I said that what is zikr? This is a most misunderstood subject. Like many other subjects, just as the conception of jihad, distorted, perverted. In the same way, what is zikr? Zikr, I gave you the definition in Arabic words, اِسْتِهْزَارُ اللَّهِ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Keep Allah present in your heart. Istihzar. You know, Babu, istifal in Arabic means to get something for yourself. Istinsar, to get the help. Istisqa, to get water, to ask for water. Istihzar, to get the presence, to keep Allah present in your heart. Istihzarullah fil qalb, it is zikr. And this will strengthen your defenses against shaitan, as well as against your id or libido, your lower or baser self.
Your nafs-e ammara. Your nafs-e ammara is invading you. It wants to take you away. Inna nafs-a ammara tum bisu. It wants to take you towards the shameful acts, towards munkar, towards injustice, towards getting wealth by hook or by crook, by halal or by haram. This nafs-e ammara, you know, it has to. Its duty is to bid to you towards whatever is bad and whatever is shameful. Now to protect, you should have Allah in your heart. And to have Allah in your heart is zikr. So this is actually the, but why, what are the means? How to do it? We have termed the means of zikr as zikr. So this is the mistake. Zikr is something else. Zikr is to have Allah in your heart. For that, number one, the most important zikr, and as I said, the zikr is Quran. It has been said in the Quran several times, in several ayat. Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra inna lahu lahafidun. Ya ayyuhalladhi nuzzila alayhi zikru innaka lamajnun. They said, oh you, oh Muhammad, oh you who thinks that zikr has been revealed to him, we think you have gone crazy. You have lost your mental balance. You have been possessed by some evil spirit. Some jinns have possessed you. So that was, but zikr, I am quoting these ayat for the word zikr. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have sent down this zikr to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you should explain to people what has been sent down for them. It's your duty. You have to explain it. So actually, Quran is az-zikr, the zikr, the most effective means of zikr. If you want to have Allah in your heart, read Quran, recite Quran. And please listen it. If you feel there is a sympathetic vibration in your soul, something within you is moving with Quran, is testifying that this is correct, this is the truth. Let me quote here a couplet of Urdu. Dekhna taqreer ki lazzat ke jo usne kaha, maine ye jana ke goya yehi mere dil mein hai. You know, a harmony. Harmony between our nature and Quran. Harmony between our spirits and Quran. Because why? The source is the same. Quran is the word of Allah. And so is my soul. My spirit. Amrullah. Yasaluna kani ruh. Kuli ruh min amri rabbi. This has come from Allah, not from this clay. My body, my animal being is from this clay, from the crust of the earth. But my spirit, that has come from Allah, directly from Allah. وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And I breathe into him from my own spirit. These are the words of the Quran, appearing twice in Surah Al-Hijr and Surah Al-Sad. وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَوْ لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Now if there is the harmony, if there is the sympathetic vibration within you, you know, I recall the poem Daffodils. This the poet, you know, he suddenly, when he was just strolling in some valleys, from a mountain top he saw, you know, a valley full of daffodils. And the flowers, you know, they were waving in the wind. And he says, now, I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the scene to me had brought. For oft when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon my inward eye, and then my heart with pleasure fills, and dances with the daffodils. Just as, you know, I saw the daffodils were dancing in that wind, in that valley, my heart also starts dancing, and dances with the daffodils. That dance of the heart, along with the tune of the Quran, that is actually the strengthening of Iman. That you become sure, it becomes your own personal experience that Quran is true. It has come from the same source from where my own ruh has come, from where my own spirit has come. And this is actually the fourth now. This heart in which Allah is present, no shaitan can invade it. That is why this hadith says, whenever a person is having zikr, shaitan comes away. When his heart becomes empty of zikr, empty of Allah, now shaitan comes. And you know, he starts breathing into the heart and exciting the carnal desires and exciting the animal instincts. Go on. So that is absolutely correct.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ. And the second way and second method next to Quran is Salah. Salah is important in one respect. In the Salah we recite Quran also. Ummul Quran, Suratul Fatiha in every rakah. Then we read to it. In most of the rakat, we read some of the more ayat of the Quran also. Then we are doing Tasbih, Subhan Rabbiyal Ala, Subhan Rabbiyal Azim. Then Takbir. With every motion, we are saying Allahu Akbar. So all these things, you know, they are verbal zikr. Along with the verbal zikr, now there comes our movements. We bow down to Him. When we are standing respectfully, qanitin, not arrogantly. We are standing with humility. Then we bow down. And then we prostrate. Actually, this is the actual. And so to say, by action, zikr by action, zikr through action. One zikr is through words. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Reciting Quran. This is zikr with tongue. The verbal zikr. And this is the zikr with action. We are proving from our actions that we are the bondsmen of Allah. Oh Allah, I place, you know, my head on your feet. And don't be scared by these words. These words are used by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you prostrate yourself in salah, you think that you have put your head on the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, that is the zikr through action. Number third, please add to it. The third form of zikr is the supplications and the prayers which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do and make with every act. Daily act. You rise up in the morning and there is a supplication. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani wa ilayhi an-nushur. No extra time, no extra effort. With each action. Now you are entering the bathroom. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. If you know you are coming out of the bathroom and all you know, you are cleared of the refuse from your body and you feel light. There is a supplication. Alhamdulillah alladhi azhab anni al-azab wa afani. All praise be to Allah who had removed from me those things which could be, if they were retained in the body, they could make disease. They could make me feel uncomfortable. So thanks be to Him who has relieved me of all these things. Afani and has given me, you know, the health. So on. When you see a mirror, there is a prayer. When you go out for mosque, from your house, prayer. When you enter the mosque, a prayer. Then you know when you are in the mosque, you are always praying. Then when you go out from the mosque, again a prayer. When you are going to a bazaar, to a market, to a shopping place, there is a prayer. Even, you know, when you have, you know, you are with your wife, there is a prayer. No act, human act, is without prayer. You have changed your clothes, there is a prayer. And these are all masnoon. They are from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These prayers, which are masnoon, so to say, they have dual effect. Because you are praying to Allah, your connection with Allah is established. And because you are employing the same words which were used by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your connection with Muhammad is established. So dual, one, two in one. The prayer, if you use your own words, the only one side, one dimension, that you are praying Allah, your connection with Allah is established. But you are not using any word of your own. You are using the same words which were used by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you are following him. So that adds an additional dimension to this. Because your connection, your relation with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also established. So this is actually a two-in-one process. So just first remember, number one, zikr, Quran. Recite Quran. Number two, as-salah. Number three, these prayers with daily routine works. At every movement, you remember Allah. Then number four, there are certain things which have been taught by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like Tasbih Fatima. After every, you know, prayer, now you are saying 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times or 34 times Allahu Akbar. But this is also taught by him. So these things actually, they are the methods of zikr. The real zikr is whether now Allah has come to your head, to your heart or not. That is something else. But these are the methods of zikr. But to invent new methods, actually, it is very risky. Maybe they are correct and good. Maybe they are wrong. Why to take this risk? When the deen has been completed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when all that we need was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why to take the risk of inventing other things? Why not just follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Use the same words. اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَاقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Now because I think the time is over, is it so? But no, I don't want to begin the next ayah, it will take time. So I stop here. Now in the next hour, inshallah, we shall continue this lesson. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.